You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Are you really ready? Yes. Got your Bibles with you? Yes. Bring your brain in with you?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. All right. Well, we will take however much of it you brought, and we'll work with it. And the main thing is bring your faith and come hungry. Amen. You know, if you don't come hungry, and you're not empty in one sense, if you don't have room in one sense, you're not going to get anything. I mean, you can go out to eat, and if you're already full, you're not going to eat anything.
Amen.
Thank you, Tommy. I'm going to preach to Tommy. I'm going to send him. But if you come, see, really, we come to get full, to be emptied, and come get full, to be emptied again. And to come get full. It's a continual process. I can't get to where I know everything. I've heard everything. I read all that. Goodness gracious, I've heard that story. I read that. I know everything I need to know. I've been around long enough to know. Oh, you haven't been around long enough to know anything. None of us have been around long enough to know anything. We need God. We need His wisdom. We need His direction. The older we get, the more we realize that. You want to know the truth? I used to think I was a lot smarter than I think I am now. Hello? And the truth is, I am smarter now than I was then. But I thought I was a whole lot smarter then than I think I am now. Y'all get it? Okay, yeah, chew on that one. But we come to church to find out what God has to say to us. Because we know we don't know it all. That's why we come. That's why we listen. That's why we write notes. That's why we have our Bibles. We need to hear from God. Are you with me? And we started teaching last Wednesday night on two ways of looking at things, two ways of looking at people, two ways of looking at Jesus, two ways of looking at yourself. That you can look naturally or you can look spiritually. You know, you and I need to develop our spiritual eyesight. We're pretty good in the natural. We can pretty well assess the situation, see it, look at it in the natural. We're not real good about detecting things in the spirit. We're not real good about detecting what God has available and what God can do and what God has for us, in store for us. You know, who we are. We don't always see who we are. We see ourselves in the natural. We should see ourselves spiritually. We see our situation in the natural, we should see it spiritually. We should look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. They're always changing. The things which are not seen are eternal. I don't know what you're going through, but it's a temporary changing thing, okay? Everything you feel, experience, and see with the five senses, and that's all changing stuff. This whole world is changing, but God never changes. His promises never change, and you can count on them. Are you with me?
Right.
Well, you can't count on anything else. But to do that, you've got to gaze in that direction. You've got to turn your attention in that direction. So I want to teach all night about opening our eyes. Open our eyes, spiritually speaking, as it were, to God and to what He can do and what He's made available. And I want to start with Hagar. Now, you're just completely blank right now, aren't you? What in the world has Hagar had to do with this? Well, we'll see when we get there. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. You ever been in a situation where it just seems like you just cannot see your way out of it? I mean, there's just no way in the natural that you can come out of this mess that you've gotten into, be it your fault or not. Sometimes not our fault, sometimes it is. But we're in a seemingly hopeless situation in the natural. And of course, the devil loves those kind of situations. He loves to play with your mind and give you all these imaginations and all these pictures and all these scenarios in your head about how this is going to ruin you and kill you and you'll never come out of this mess. And everything you see backs that up in the natural. Hello. I mean, you ever been at your wit's end in a situation? You know, you just, no way, I just cannot. You know what? You need God to help you. You need God to open your eyes. You really need God to do something. And He can, and He will, if you'll approach Him, you'll call on Him, and you'll ask Him. He will do that. The story of Hagar is an interesting story. She was a servant. She was an Egyptian slave, actually, somehow, that Abraham probably picked her up when he was over in Egypt before he settled in the land of Canaan. And she was the handmaiden of Sarah, Abraham's wife. You know the story. Well, Abraham winds up going into Hagar and having a child by her because Sarah insists, that's in the 16th chapter of Genesis, because she's not having any children, and they get in the flesh on this thing and try to bring a promise to pass, not by faith, but by works. And they got a really an illegitimate righteousness, which that's what working your way to heaven is. It's illegitimate righteousness. It's not righteousness that's pure and legal. Legal righteousness is birthed by faith. If you try to work your way to heaven and make yourself good enough to go to heaven, then you're trying to bring forth an illegitimate righteousness. And so that's what happened. And when she became pregnant with Ishmael, she began to kind of show off, I guess, and she was snooty, as we would say, to Sarah. Sarah didn't like it and ran her off, and she left. And God visited her and told her to return, and she was going to have a son. And God named her son. He said, "You're going to call his name's going to be Ishmael." One of the few people in the Bible that God named. I think there's only six or seven people that God named before they were born. Named them. Isaac was one of them. Ishmael was one of them. Jesus, of course. But anyway, she went back and obeyed and went back. Well, in chapter 21, now they've already had Isaac. Isaac had been born. He had also been weaned, it says, so he's probably 2 or 3 years old. Ishmael's probably about 15, 16 years old. And he starts making fun, Ishmael does, starts making fun of Isaac. And Sarah said, "That's it. I've had it. This bond woman is not going to hang around me, the free woman." You know, Paul preached a whole sermon on that in Galatians, 4th chapter. And so she told her to leave, and God told Abraham to listen to Sarah and go ahead and let her leave. And so Abraham loaded her up with a water bottle, got her son, and put her hand in his hand, it says. I'm just paraphrasing here, chapter 21. And they went off into the wilderness of Paran, Beersheba, up in the wilderness of Paran. Okay? And they're out there, and she ran out of water. And when she ran out of water, about to die, she felt like she was going to die. Her son is already in bad shape. She put him under a bush and went off, the Bible says, a bow shot, like you'd shoot an arrow, probably less than 100 yards. Cried out to God in her agony and her pain. And that picks up where we are. It says here, in fact, let's just start 14 verse, 21st chapter. "So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and put it on her shoulder, and he gave it to her and the boy to Hagar, and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba," the wilderness of Paran, that area. "And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went out and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, 'Let me not see the death of my boy.'" She's hopeless at this point. "So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept." Now thank God God heard her. I love this. "And heard his cry." Evidently, he was crying out too. Now, wouldn't you say it's pretty hopeless? I mean, she has no recourse. She's just a slave. She's just a servant girl. She's been run out by her master. She's in the wilderness with an empty water bag and a boy. I mean, I don't know how hopeless you understand this situation must have been. I mean, this is, what in the world? You can't see any way out of this. I think we often get similar situations in the sense that we can't see any way out of it. Because all we see is what's going on around us. All we see is the need. All we see is the defeat, the failure, the absolute weakness and inability of us to come out of this thing. I don't have the money. Hello. I don't even have friends. I hope that's not the case, but I mean, you can get that way where you think that way, you get to feeling that way. I can feel that way as a pastor. All I got to do is hear a couple of bad reports during the week, a couple of disgruntled members talk about how no good I was or the sermon was bad, and all of a sudden I think everybody's against me, and there may be 200 people thought it was great. But you know how we are. We hear one bad report and we internalize that thing, and all of a sudden we think that everybody's against us, and really the truth is those that for you are more than those be against you. But as long as you're locked in on that, and all you see is that, you internalize that, you can't see your way out. Until you open your spiritual eyes. Notice what it goes on to say. 16th verse. "Then she went and sat down across from him a distance about a bow shot, for she said to herself, 'Let me not see the death of my boy.' So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, 'What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" May have hidden him from you, but I see him. I love that. God sees the need even when, you know, even when you try to hide the need. He still sees the need. He sees everything. Arise, lift up the lad, 18th verse. Hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Now, where was that well? Honestly, I think it was probably there the whole time. But in her state of mind, she couldn't see it. The way she was looking, she couldn't see it. I think God has a way to get us out of every mess we ever get into, but many times because of our attitude and the way we're looking, we can't see it. And we need God to open our eyes to see His provision. I mean, you don't just walk through life and see provision of God and see the power of God and see the workings of God. You actually have to look for it and you have to pray that God opens your eyes to see it. God, open my eyes, cause me to see your working, your provision, your supply, your power. I can see all the other power. I can see all the other pain. I can see the failure. But I need God to help me see victory. It takes God to show you success. It takes God to show you the way out of the mess that you're in. And to get God to do that, you have to turn to Him and call on Him. I think it's very significant. This word, in fact, just reading along here, you wouldn't catch it. And unless you really did a study on this, you wouldn't catch it. And that's why you came to church tonight. That's why I'm here preaching, because I did do a study on it. And I'm going to tell you. That word open there in the Hebrew is a very specific word, opened. It's not used concerning opening a door. It's not used concerning opening the heavens. It's not used concerning, you know, opening a way or opening this or opening that. It's used concerning understanding and opening their eyes. When it's used in the Old Testament, it's not used that many times in the Old Testament. It's used like when Adam and Eve sinned and their eyes were opened. And they saw that they were naked. Understanding came. Are you with me? It's used concerning understanding. It's a spiritual insight or a conscious awareness. So it says he opened her eyes. He didn't all of a sudden open her eyes. They were closed and they opened. He opened her understanding. He opened her spiritual sight. Which it takes God to do that. And because we don't have spiritual eyesight, we don't see our way out of a lot of messes we're in. We don't see victory. We don't see success. We don't see any way we're going to make it. Sorry, I'm to inform you that God really wants you to make it, but that there's more to life than what you see with your natural eye.
Right.
Are you with me? In fact, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "I have not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." So the things God has prepared, it takes spiritual eyesight to see those, and it takes God to open our eyes for us to see that. Does that make sense? So if you just rock along here and you're not praying about your situation, you're rocking along here and you're not looking in the Word and finding out what God says about this, you are not going to see the way out of it when you get in the mess. But if you'll pray and you'll seek God, He'll open your eyes. That's actually what Psalm 119 verse 18 says. Open thou mine eyes, that I may see your wondrous works. Now you think about that. You can walk through life with your eyes open naturally, but you won't see His wondrous works until He opens your eyes to them. There's people with their eyes wide open that can't see. There are people that see that are blind. You and I have been that way before. We might be that way again, you know, a time or two or occasion, you know, in our lives. Or we're just blind to what God's doing, blind to His provision. We're so upset, so focused on the problem that our spiritual eyes are just shut. They're closed off. Their eyes they have closed is what Jesus said. And He was quoting Isaiah. Oftentimes we can close our eyes to the things of God, close our eyes to the provision of God, the power of God, the victory. And we're self-destructing, really, because we're self-blinding ourselves. In this case, He opened her eyes, and she saw. I love that. opened her eyes. And do you think she was blind to that point naturally? Oh, no. But she couldn't see any way out. She had given up. She'd stopped. She'd quit. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Maybe you can't figure out how to get out of this mess. Once you pray, God, open your eyes, He'll show you a way to get out of your mess. Yeah. Amen? I mean, that's what He does, is open our eyes to see Him and what He can do. So God was with the lad, 20th verse, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He wasn't all bad. He was a bow hunter. That turned out okay. Amen. Turn to Ephesians 1. Here's a well-known prayer. I know y'all are just writing notes, and it's just changing your life, and that's why you're not shouting and screaming and jumping up and down hollering amen, because this is a good message. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. You know what was wrong with the people of Jesus' hometown when he went to them in Mark the 6th chapter and he could do no mighty work there? What was wrong with them? They were looking at him in the natural. Is not this the son of Joseph? Are not his brothers James and Judas and Joseph here, and his sisters, are they not here? Is this not the carpenter's son? And he could do no mighty work there because they weren't opening up their eyes. Jesus talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that he came and ministered to, that rejected him, and he said that they have closed their eyes and shut their ears. So in seeing, they may not see, and in hearing, they may not hear. Well, that's a shutting of a spiritual eyesight, seeing naturally but not seeing spiritually. And we can be guilty of the same thing, not in the sense of not loving God or worshiping God, but sometimes in the sense of His provision. In Hagar's sense or case, it was just the fact that she did not see God's provision. She did not see that God could get her out of that until God opened her eyes. Well, would to God He'd open our eyes, amen? Now, I think we can cooperate with God on this. I think there's things we can do to enhance our eyesight. And so what we're talking about is some spiritual exercises here to work your eyesight and get it going. You need to develop those spiritual eyesight muscles. Amen? Steps to seeing better. These are spiritual carrots that will make you see better. All right. Ephesians 1, notice this. You know the prayer. I won't belabor it. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I want you to see this because it's so pertinent and applicable to what I'm preaching here. Paul's praying for the church at Ephesus. And he says in the 17th verse, he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him. Obviously, he's talking about spiritual insight. He even says that in the 18th verse, that the eyes of your understanding, most translations say the eyes of your heart. Eyes of your heart. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Amen. So, see, there are some things you can see with your understanding that you can't see with your natural eyes.
Yeah. That's right.
I guarantee you, you're not going to ask for what you can't see. And you're not going to receive what you can't see. And you're not going to go after what you can't see. We're not going to stumble around the dark here. If I can't see the thing, I'm not going for it. In fact, often when we're perplexed and we're needing some insight, we'll say things like, man, I just can't see that. I hear what you're saying, but I just can't see it. Right. What do we mean? We mean we can't understand it.
Right.
And we'll say things like, why don't you enlighten me? Shine some more light on it. Put some more light on that thing. Amen? Why? So I can see it more clearly, so I can go after it. Amen? So the things of God are like that. Many times they're just over in the dark, and we need to shine light on them. I taught one time a message on speaking shines light on what is spoken. Because Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Psalms 119, verse 130. And so the more of God's word I put on my situation, the more light shines on my situation, and the more understanding I get, and I can find the well where the water is.
Yeah.
Woo! Instead of laying over here and dying, I can find the well's, it's there. We just got to open our eyes up to see it. There's a well of water waiting on you. There's a well of salvation, a well of healing, a well of peace, a well of financial prosperity. It's over there, but see, you can't see it unless you open your eyes to see it. And your eyes are not open, and light doesn't come until God's Word comes, until you pray, as Paul's praying. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That's why we come to church, because our brain is so messed up. I'm not saying we're all wicked and cruel. We just live in a very fallen, broken world out here, a very godless world, and we live our lives doing basically good things, not bad things. We're not just wicked, but our mind is just bent toward the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Because you're not going, if you don't transform your mind, you're not going to see the will of God. You won't know the will of God. You're never going to prove it. You won't know the wells out there. You won't find the well. You'll never get to drink from it. That's good. Woo! That's good, and we'll die in our blindness. We'll die in our failure and our defeat and our opposition has come against us. We'll lay down and let it just run over us when God has made us a world overcomer.
That's right.
But we need our eyes open, see? Spiritual eyes, spiritual eyesight. So he says this, and notice this, even the context of this. The eyes of your understanding, 18th verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. If you want to know, oh, you know about the devil's power. You know about the power of this problem. You know about the power of this crisis that you're in. But if you're ever going to know the exceeding greatness of God's power, you're going to need to pray that God opens the eyes of your understanding. You're going to have to pray for enlightenment to show you the exceeding greatness of his power. If you're going to see where the well is, it's God's well. This is God's provision. This is God's power. You have to have an eye-opening experience to see God and his provision and his power. And God had to, you know, it wasn't just he decided to go down there. He had to open Hagar's eyes, or she would have never seen the well. It's a challenge we all face. Without an eye-opening experience, we're not going to see the provision of God. Without our spiritual eyes opened, we're going to continue to stay in our depression and our defeat and our failure. And look this tragedy and this crisis in the face, and we need to turn and open our spiritual eyes and see the victory and the provision of God and the power of God and the exceeding greatness of his power. Oh, that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened that you might know what is the hope of his calling and the riches, the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that also in that which is to come. Think about it. Nothing in this world compares to the power of God that is toward us who believe.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
No might, no power, no dominion, and no name that is named.
Yes.
No opposition, no crisis, no battle.
That's right.
No need in your life. But you got to pray that God opens your eyes, because it sure doesn't look that way in the natural. Most of the time, it doesn't look that way. Amen?
Yes.
Turn over to 2 Kings. Excuse me for getting stirred up. 2 Kings. 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. This is a story of Elisha. I love this. Elisha ministered to the northern kings, the kings during the divided kingdom. After Solomon died, the kingdom was divided between Rehoboam and then a guy called Jeroboam went up to the north and started the northern kingdom, tribes of the north. And it went on down to Ahab and then a couple of other guys. But Jehoram was probably the king during this writing here. It doesn't say exactly, so you had to put the pieces together. But it was during that northern kingdom time, the divided kingdom. Elisha was a prophet. He followed Elijah. Remember, Elijah was a prophet, and Elisha was his crony, flunky, roadie, partner, pupil. Yeah. And when Elijah went up into heaven, Elisha took on his mantle. And then he began to be the prophet, and miracles began to come to pass in his ministry. He did some miraculous things. In fact, this chapter is where the iron floated. Remember the iron head that swam that someone lost? Well, down here in the Syrians made war with the Israelites, the Aramaeans, if you have a modern translation. King James says Syrians, but it's the land of Aram, of the Arameans. They made war with Israel, and this king, I got to read this. Can I back up and read this? It's really a neat story. Eighth verse. Notice this, 6th chapter, 8th verse. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And a man of God sent to the king of Israel. This is when you really need a man of God, let me tell you. When there's a big battle going on, you need a man of God. Hello? You need to take counsel from the man of God, too. The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. If you have a modern translation, it probably says Arameans. It's the same thing. Syrians is the modern area called Aramea back then. The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to that place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and it was watchful there, not just once or twice. How cool is this? Hello, in our day of Twitter and Facebook and internet and texting, nobody had it up on Elisha back then. The king of Syria would make war plans. Elisha, by the Spirit of God, would know it, and he would just go tell his king, hey, don't go over here. They're setting up an ambush. Woo! Hello. Even text can't do that. Even Twitter can't do that. Hello. Notice what it goes on and says. It says, 11th verse, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servant and said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? He thought he had a mole, a spy, in the camp. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, everybody's for you, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Wow. That actually, if you think about that, all make you want to straighten your life up, because God knows everything you say anywhere you go. That's a side note. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Nobody sees. Oh, God sees everything. Hello. So he said, I got two amens. 13th verse. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. This is how crazy this guy is. I mean, you think how nuts this guy is. He's a king coming against Israel. And every time he makes war plans, the prophet knows about it by the Spirit of God and goes and tells the king of Israel, watch out, don't go in a certain place. Now he knows this is going on, and he still says this, you go find him and let's go get him. Well, don't you think he's going to know you're coming to get him? I mean, this is just not, you know, on a scale of 1-10, it's not a real smart thing to do. You know, it just doesn't seem like it's way up there. Okay. It's 13th verse. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city, sneaking in there by night, you know. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Well, now, you know, he's looking at the natural, and he doesn't see any way out of this. The servant of Elisha. And he doesn't know what to do. You ever been there? Hello? I mean, if you look around, we're surrounded by the enemy. We're surrounded by the bills. We're surrounded by the pain. We're surrounded by the bad reports. But you see, you're just talking about what you're just telling me what you see in the natural. Isn't that right? Well, yeah, but I can't deny it's all there. Well, no one's denying it's there, but what you're missing is what's in the spirit. If that's the only way you're looking, and that's the only eyesight you're using, and you're only opening these eyes, these natural eyes, you're going to miss what God's doing. Isn't that right? You'll miss out what's going on in the spirit. You'll miss out in His provision. He's got things lined out, and he's already prepared for it. Didn't catch him by surprise. Hello. He didn't look at you one day, and something happened to you, and he went, uh-oh. He never says, oops.
That's right.
Amen? So, 16th verse, Elisha answered him and said, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, here's the servant. He's thinking, man, it's looking bad, and my master's lost his mind. It's going from bad to worse, because Elisha says it's completely unqualified as far as the servant is concerned. He's going, man, he is Looney Tunes. I mean, I just got through looking. I know what I saw. Often when you tell people they're in a mess, they can make it, cheer up, we're going to believe God. They look at you like you're crazy too. Because they're not looking with the spiritual eye. Their eyes aren't open. And Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. That's that same word, incidentally, too. Open his eyes. That's that Hebrew word in this Old Testament that's used concerning enlightenment, understanding, awareness. Are you with me? Open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. We need some eye-opening experiences. We need God to open our eyes. We need to pray that God opens our eyes in the crisis, in the tragedy, in the pain, in the battles, in the trials, in the living our lives. Are you with me? If we go through life with our eyes shut, we're not going to see the things of God. And we can go through life with our eyes open naturally and have them shut spiritually. We need to awake. Amen?
That's right.
Awake from the dead. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Man. So Elisha was speaking out of what he saw spiritually when he said, those that are for us and those that be against us. The servant was speaking out of what he saw naturally. Are you with me? But until his eyes were open, he couldn't see what Elisha saw. Maybe you're just talking out of your natural eyesight. I don't know. Maybe you're just talking about what you see. Maybe you. And I've heard reports. I've talked to people and prayed with people where they'll tell you everything's wrong with them from the top to the bottom. Then list off every report except God's word, except what God says, except the promise of God. And often, in many cases, you will share with them what the word says, and they won't get it. They don't see it. They've shut off that part of the equation. Here they are, surrounded with the armies of God. And can't see them. The chariots of fire, the angels of heaven, and can't see them. We need God to open our eyes. Amen? And in Psalm 119, verse 18, you ought to write that down. Open thou my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. In fact, turn to Acts, the 26th chapter. Hallelujah. Now, granted, God was there all that time, wouldn't you say? I don't think those armies just appeared up in the mountains and the chariots of fire and the angels just appeared the moment God opened his eyes. They were there the whole time, but he couldn't see them. I don't think the well appeared when Hagar needed it. It was there, she just couldn't see it. You know, I'm thinking of another, talking about spiritual eyesight, open your spiritual eyesight, cooperating with God on this deal. And you need to cooperate with him on this. Job 22:28, scripture I quote often, it says, declare a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Decree a thing, decree a thing, decree a thing. Say it, pray it, confess it. Decree a thing, and it, what you decree, what you say, what you confess, will be established unto you, and the light will shine upon your ways. Your way to do it. Your way to get it. I can't make it. Quit saying that. I can make it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. Well, it sure doesn't look like it. I don't care. The Bible says I win. The Bible says he always causes me to triumph. And you start decreeing that, and you start decreeing that, and all of a sudden God begins to shine light on your way. He shines light. He shows you where the well is. And you didn't see it before because your eyes were shut. Isn't that right?
That's right?
So actually, you can open your eyes up by opening your mouth up.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what Paul was doing. He opened his mouth up and prayed that the eyes of the Ephesians would open up. And so you juncture that with Psalms 119, verse 130. If y'all write notes, y'all write those two down because, boy, they go together. 119, verse 130, and I quoted it already, the entrance of thy word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. So if I begin to decree the promise and say the promise, God says this. I don't know what, you know, I don't understand all that, and I couldn't tell you how in the world I'm going to make it here, but I know what God says, and God says this, and I see the problem, and I see the everything shut off and closed off, and there just seems to be no way out. But God says this, and I say, in the name of Jesus, it's going to be like God says. And then you start saying that and start saying that, and all of a sudden the creativity, the wherewithal, the strategy, the plan start coming, and God starts showing you how you can make it. And you just couldn't see it before because you wouldn't say it. Because your eyes were shut off to it. You need God's Word to shine light on it to open your eyes. Get enough light on it, you can see it. But as long as it's dark, you can't see it. God's Word brings light, amen? And then you start seeing the way. I love that, the way. You start seeing the way out. Decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your way. The light shall shine upon your way. All right, turn to Acts 26. You found it? This helping anybody?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Open your spiritual eyes. That's what we're talking about. All through the Scripture, God opened people's eyes. He opened Hagar's eyes. She saw provision. He opened the servant of Elisha's eyes, and he saw protection. He saw it. If you just get your eyes open, you can see your way out of this deal. You can see how God can get you out. We give up way too quick. And we give up because we just shut our eyes. And we lay down and die. Notice why God raised up Paul. This is amazing. I love this scripture. And he's talking to King Agrippa. He's actually been in prison, and he's given an oration, a speech to King Agrippa about what his vision that he had. Remember over there in Acts, the 9th chapter, where Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, and he was on his way to persecute Christians, and Jesus appeared to him and called him into the ministry, and he began to minister. Well, that was years before. Now he's in prison for preaching the gospel, and he's telling King Agrippa about his vision, and he tells him how Jesus appeared to him, said he was Jesus, and he says in the 16th verse, quoting Jesus, Paul is quoting Jesus, and he says, "He said to me, 'Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I yet will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you.'" I now send you to the Gentiles. Listen to this. "To open their eyes." That's why God raised Paul up. He sent him to the Gentiles to do what? To open their eyes. Now, I'm reading New King James Version here. It says, "in order to turn them." In order to turn them. If you're tired of the direction you're going, if you're tired of what you're seeing, if you're tired of never seeing your way out of this thing, then you need your eyes open in order to turn from what you're looking at. There's something else beside what you're looking at. There's something else you can see, but you can't see it with your natural eye. You can only see it with your spiritual eye, and only the good news, only the gospel will open your eyes to it. Spiritual eyesight, the eyes of your understanding. Notice this. I love this. And New King James says, in order to turn them. The New Living Translation says, so that they may turn. Because if your eyes aren't open, you won't turn. If you don't know you can, you won't. If you don't see the door, you won't go through it. If you don't see the answer, you won't go after it. You know, it says of Hagar, and I should have spent a little more time on that, but I had so many things I wanted to go through. I'm not through with this yet either. Hang in here. Don't run up. It says of Hagar, when he showed her that well, she got up and went. Yeah. I love that. Once God shows you, you need to get up and go.
Right. That's right.
Isn't that right? Yeah. And so, yeah, God showed me the answer. Well, go get it. Go for it. Now, you're not going to go for what you don't see, but that's the whole point. You hadn't been seeing victory because you're not opening your spiritual eyes. You hadn't been listening to what God has to say. You hadn't been going over the promises. You hadn't been speaking the word. You hadn't been praying that God would open your eyes of your understanding. Or as David said in Psalms 119, verse 18, "Open thou my eyes, God. Open my eyes." Paul was sent to deliver. to open their eyes, 18 verse, in order to turn them from darkness to light. Now listen to this. I don't think we get this because this is really the whole message about this. To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. So we can see God's power instead of the devil's power. Because until our eyes are open, all we see is the devil. We can't see God. We see what the devil's doing. We see death and destruction and stealing and killing and failure and going under and crisis after another crisis. But God has come and the gospel has come and Paul came to open our eyes, to turn us from the power of Satan, to see the power of God. Hallelujah. Woo! I want to see what God can do. I want to see God's power. I want to see victory. I want to see health and healing. Are you with me? Got to turn from what I'm looking at to look at something else. I got to open my eyes. You know what the gospel does? It opens your eyes. I love that. We can get on a series, invariably. I get on a series. Yeah, starts out pretty good. People get it. Stay on it. Keep preaching on it. Starts getting pretty good. Start preaching for a few more weeks. Get on it. And I mean, by the time we get through preaching on it, people are ready. They're unglued. They're just coming unglued. Whoa! That is awesome. I'm starting to see that now. Our eyes start opening up. First, it's just a little slit, you know. Just a glimmer of hope. But you keep coming and you go, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, whoa! Woo! Now your eyes start really opening up. You start seeing it. But it takes time for that to happen. Hello. The gospel does that. It opens our eyes. Oh, hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
In order, or so that, we can turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and that we might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wow. I love that. It goes back to the things of God being revealed by the Spirit of God. No, I have not seen, not the natural eye, no. These things are revealed by the Spirit. We're talking about spiritual eyesight. We're talking about understanding and insight and revelation. God opened Hagar's understanding and eyesight. Are you with me? Just spirit. God opened Elisha's servants' spiritual eyesight. Paul prayed in Ephesus that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened so they'd know the exceeding greatness of God's power. Man, that's good stuff. So that's a prayer we ought to pray. And that's something that we ought to be standing on. And that's something we ought to be exercising, developing in our life, is spiritual eyesight. Okay, you see everything going on. You know all the details in the natural. Let's get over here and find out what God has to say about this thing. Let's turn now from the power of Satan to the power of God. That's when we'll find our well. That's when we'll find our water. That's when we can crawl up out from under the shrub we're hiding under and start really living instead of dying. Amen.